In this podcast series so far, we've been talking about the issue of resilience. We've heard stories from different pharmacists who've talked about different aspects of the topic. Now we're coming to the end of the series, we're going to start pulling the themes together. Our next episode will be our last one, and we'll be joined by Professor Abby Lane, who will help us to think about the different themes that have come through during the series. Today, then, we're going to talk about mentorship. This concept has arisen over and over again during the series, this thought about people helping each other and having mentors that will guide us along the way. So today I'm joined by five colleagues who've recently participated in the Irish Institute of Pharmacy mentoring pilot, and they're going to talk to us about their experiences of developing resilience through mentorship. My name is Dr. Katrina Bradley, and this is The Resilient Pharmacist.
And the people we have with us are Sarah Chambers, who manages the mentoring programme for the Irish Institute of Pharmacy. We have two mentors, Louisa Power and Margaret Doherty, who are well known in Irish pharmacy landscape. And we have two people who benefited from mentoring. They were the mentees, Mayasana Tijani and Cian O'Cahany. I'll ask each of them to introduce themselves as we come to their section and as they're answering the questions. But for now, we'll just get started, because Sarah, it would be great if you could introduce yourself a little and tell us about what is mentoring.
Delighted to be here today. As you said, I'm a pharmacist. I'm working with the IAOP for the last 3.5 years now. And informally, I have benefited from being mentored and also being a mentor in my career. My background would be in community pharmacy, but to be honest, I probably wouldn't have even known to call it mentoring back then or recognized it as mentoring. I just had people who supported me, and I was lucky to have that. Since I joined the IAOP team, I've been lucky to be able to lean into that space. It's a space that I really am passionate about. So I'm trained as a coach and mentor, and it was during that training that I was able to recognize that's what those people did for me. They gave me that safe space. They shared their experience and they helped me to develop and grow. So that's when I really recognized the benefits of it. And I've really just leaned into it ever since then. So I'm now an accredited mentoring program manager. And that's why I'm here today, to speak in my role as the mentoring program lead for the mentoring program. So what is mentoring? I've used that word about 5 times in that last sentence. I think a lot of pharmacists probably do experience it informally. I know the main way people might relate to it is really through the APPEL preceptor role, or as it was called in my day, the tutor pharmacist role, where pharmacists who are just at the point or at the cusp of being qualified are paired with a tutor or preceptor to support them in developing into the role, which is fantastic. But what happens then? Then we go into our career and we face so many transitions as we develop through our career. And how do you access, or how do you find a mentor at that stage? And I think we can all agree that you probably need it more and more as you develop into your role. So that's really what mentoring can do. So mentoring really for pharmacists by pharmacists, so that pharmacists understand the context we're working in, the challenges we face, the opportunities that might be there, so that a more experienced pharmacist can share that experience, speed up that learning curve, share perspective, and be that sounding board for pharmacists as they develop throughout their career.
Very good. So the mentoring program then itself puts a structure on that, is it?
Exactly. So it gives a formal but flexible structure with the right amount of support and training to facilitate pharmacists in having those really constructive, intentional, developmental conversations. So that's the role of the program. I think it's part and parcel of professionalism. So being part of a profession, or invested in how that profession grows and develops. So giving back to pharmacists and building together that shared professional identity. One of the main benefits, I think, of the mentoring program we have is that it's across all practice areas. So we have pharmacists, we've had the benefit of having the pilot mentoring program earlier this year. So we've had a chance to test it out and see, does this work? Is it right for pharmacists who are working in practice? The good news is the feedback has been really positive. So it seems that it is. And one of the really nice things we saw is that some of our pairs who were cross-sectoral or with different practice areas really learned a lot from each other and were able to share that different perspective and also find that common area. So I think it could really be used to build that sense of professional identity across the profession.
Okay. And given that we're you know, in the Resilient Pharmacist podcast, did resilience get affected? We've heard during the series that people benefit from those sorts of relationships. Did you see that sort of resilience build as a trend?
So actually, resilience wasn't a word that was really used by our mentors or our mentees in the programme. But what we did see was that pharmacists really benefited from that sense of connection. There was increased confidence, both in terms of mentors and mentees throughout the programme. And out of, we had 16 pairs, and every single person completed the programme. Their expectations were met, if not exceeded, from the programme, and they all want to stay involved in mentoring, which I think is fantastic to see and a testament to how beneficial it can be.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Sarah. And we might ask at the end for where people can find out more information about the mentoring programme. But to start with understanding a bit more about it, we're going to talk now with some of the people who were on that pilot that you mentioned. So we'll start with you, Mo. Moyasana Tijani, can you introduce yourself a little and tell us a bit about yourself, please? And then maybe tell us about the experience you've had with mentoring.
First of all, thanks for inviting me to speak on the podcast today, Katrina. It's an honor. So my name is Mo. I work as a community pharmacist in Dublin City Centre. I qualified as a pharmacist about 3 years ago in Hungary. And I moved to Dublin fairly recently to work as a pharmacist. So for me, I'm moving over. I noticed there wasn't that much guidance on, you know, being a pharmacist, because, as you know, I qualified in Hungary, and pharmacy is practiced in a very different way in Ireland than it is to Hungary. So it was like there was a void just in the whole pharmacy sector, but in terms of mentoring. It's like kind of very similar to like, hey, you're qualified now, off you go, you're a pharmacist. It's almost like what Kian said once, here are the keys to the Ferrari, off you go, don't crash it.
A challenge. Yeah
it was.
The mentoring program probably came at a good time for you.
It did. I got the email from the IIOP, and I thought to myself, why don't you just sign up, like, you have nothing to lose. And I am glad I did, because the guidance is there in the pharmacy sector, be it community pharmacy, hospital pharmacy, industry. Like, you work with a lot of people who are very experienced. It's just most pharmacists don't know how to ask for help. I noticed the mentorship program was for me sort of a roadmap to finding help.
So it gave a structure for you to be able to look for guidance, look for help from others. And how has the experience of the program been for you?
It's been perfect. It honestly exceeded my expectations. I was paired with a pharmacist with a wealth of knowledge, and I was able to build a rapport with him and ask just about anything. And I got answers to everything, and even more. Like, he had me learning about, you know, profit margins and other things that you necessarily wouldn't learn in uni.
Okay.
Which was really good. Yeah.
And how did you develop like a relationship, in the sense that did you get to see him regularly, or was it, how did the mentoring relationship evolve?
Okay, so it was earlier this year, so we were still in lockdown in Ireland, so we couldn't meet face to face, but we had FaceTime calls every 2 weeks, and they would typically last for about an hour. Or there were often scenarios when I had way too many questions for the hour, and he was very patient, so it could run over an hour. Mm-hmm. It was structured in a way that I would think about what I wanted to learn during that week, and I would set up an agenda and send that to him, and we would go through the agenda bit by bit during the call. And also during the week, I was allowed to ring him if I had any questions. Like, he gave me his mobile and said, ring me if you need any help at any point, which was really helpful as well. Yeah.
And you were paired with somebody who was quite senior or quite advanced in their career, weren't you?
Yes. He's a pharmacy owner and also a supervising pharmacist of his branch. So it was perfect because he provided two perspectives, which is that of a supervising pharmacist and a pharmacy owner. So that way I was able to learn, you know, what was expected for me on the professional front, and then what was expected for me probably like for financial on the financial aspects of the company. Yeah.
Very good. And you mentioned there that pharmacists aren't very good at asking for help, and that this gave you the structure. Would you be more confident now to ask colleagues for help?
Oh, yes, definitely. I suppose another thing that I learned with the mentorship program is that you shouldn't be afraid to ask for help, because chances are the person you're asking for help probably maybe doesn't know that they can offer that much help. So you guys are going to be helping each other out anyways. When you ask them for help, they grow as well.
Very good. OK, well, thank you for sharing your experience, and we'll come back to you later. But I'm going to move now to Louisa Power. Louisa, you're a pharmacist. Would you mind introducing yourself and then maybe telling us about your experience as a mentor on the programme?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I suppose it's such an honour to be with the doyen of Irish pharmacy, as I often call you. So, to be surrounded by, I suppose, such energy and enthusiasm on this podcast, it's amazing. So for those that don't know me, I work with the HSE. I'm a Chief Two Pharmacist in a community healthcare organisation. But I came to this, I suppose, via a very circuitous route. I worked in hospital, both in Ireland and in the UK. I came back and I was looking for something a little bit different. So I went down the non-traditional role and I was working with a regulator. And now I am in the HSE and I also sit on PSI Council. And what often happens to me every couple of years is I get itchy feet and I'm looking around for something new and for something exciting. And I'm very fulfilled in my day-to-day job role, but I suppose I'm always looking for something a little bit different. And the mentoring email came into my inbox and I looked at it. And I remember firstly kind of putting it to one side and saying, no, I couldn't possibly do that. That's for people who have been practicing for a very long time to be a mentor, because I really felt the mentoring would be what would fit me best. And I didn't really feel that I had the confidence. And anyone who knows me knows that this is a long-standing issue with Louisa, is that, you know, I don't think I have the confidence sometimes to do the things that I do. But this email kept kind of, I kept thinking about it over the weekend. And I said, look, I'll just throw in an application and see, because I really wanted to give something back. I've been very fortunate throughout my career, whether it was being a pre-reg in St. Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny, moving over to the UK, coming back, working in that non-traditional role. I was really lucky to have been mentored. And I suppose, like Sarah, I didn't realise that it was mentoring at the time, but thinking back and having done the mentoring training, I realised that it was mentoring. And I really feel that I wanted just to give something back. And I suppose I was so fortunate, Katrina. I don't know who did the matching, because it was absolutely phenomenal that I was matched with somebody who was on a journey similar to a journey that I had been on. And we were very, I suppose, and this maybe is why the mentoring with this particular mentee worked for me, because it was very focused around a goal, and the mentee had a very specific goal. But I was also blown away, Katrina, by the mentee's enthusiasm and organisation and self-motivation, you know, around organising the meetings, getting as much as she could possibly get out of the meetings, having the agenda set. And I suppose it made mentoring very easy then for me, because I was with somebody who was completely self-motivated, who knew exactly where they wanted to go, but just needed that little bit of support and that little bit of, I think, kind of encouragement and, you know, that just that structure. But it's the structure, I suppose, around the mentoring that the IIOP has put in place is just so, makes it so easy for a mentor. And I've gotten so much out of it. I just can't thank the IIOP enough, and I can't thank my mentee enough either, you know, for just giving me this whole new perspective on pharmacy and really giving me my mojo back.
Okay, so you got stuff out of this as well. You got something out of it as a mentor. It wasn't just about giving. You actually found...
No, okay. And I got the confidence, I suppose, Katrina, that I can be a mentor and that I can do this. And I can also find time. A lot of people know that I like to fill my day and how I get what I get done. People often say to me in a week, Louise, I really don't know how you you have time to even do anything. But I was actually able to fit it in. But I think because I enjoyed it so much, I was able to fit it in. And I found myself really looking forward to those Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening slots. And as Mo said, in one sense, I didn't know how it was going to work with the FaceTime, because I'm a real face-to-face person and I really like being in the same room as somebody and getting to feel their energy and getting to feel, I suppose, getting to kind of see their body language. But the FaceTime really worked. And I think it worked because we had to make it work. But also I think it worked mm-hmm. because there was a real two-way street going on, you know, very much I wanted to give something, but the mentee wanted to give something and also get something back. So no, it did work really, really well. But I'll be really interested to see as time goes on, you know, in the face-to-face, how that works, you know, and how things progress there.
Well, thank you. There's lots of food for thought there, but I'm struck by the fact that you're thinking, gosh, maybe I'm not qualified long enough or don't have enough experience, and that self-doubt, which you realised, you know, was unnecessary, that you had lots to offer. So I'm going to move to Margaret, because Margaret, you have all that years of experience behind you, so you must have come into this really feeling that you had loads to give. So do you want to introduce yourself first and then maybe tell us a bit about a bit about yourself, a bit about the mentoring program. And also, you mentioned to me that you don't like the word resilient. So you might tell me why you have a difficulty with that, because I think a lot of people do. But let's introduce yourself first, Margaret.
My name's Margaret Doherty. I own a community pharmacy in Rafone, County Donegal. And as Katrina says, I've been around a long, long time.
And I didn't mean it like that, but you have, you're somebody who is always looking ahead. I was always looking up to you as I was coming up through pharmacy. So you've always been there for me, at least.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But I mean, I thought maybe the opposite problem to Louise. I thought I've been around too long. I graduated in the days when we hand wrote labels, you know, we didn't have mm-hmm. computers, we didn't have records. So I thought, like, what would I know that for somebody coming that was reared in the digital age, you know, that doesn't even remember a life without all these tools, you know? So you're coming from...
So almost the opposite, the same sense that Louisa had of what would you have to offer, but from a different perspective.
Yeah, that, I mean, I have loads of experience, but I feel most of it is experience of stuff that belongs in a museum, really, not an everyday practice.
And yet you practice every day.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah. And so what happened when you got involved in the mentoring program? Did you find that that was the case, that you didn't have anything to offer?
Well, it turned out that, surprisingly enough, that I did. And it was, I suppose, maybe an eye-opener for me that even though I was paired with somebody like actually younger than my own daughters, that we had an awful lot in common, because we still do the same job and we have, what the biggest, I suppose, eye-opener was that we have the same values. The same things are important to us, which is looking after the patient. All the other things are just window dressing when it comes down to it. And that was maybe the biggest revelation to both of us, that we were able to get down to that core, that what's really important isn't the, you know, how you do the records or how you make things, or it's how you interact with people. And people haven't changed in the last 30 years, not that much.
Yeah.
So
wow, that's amazing. So how did you find the mentoring relationship and the program then? What was your experience like?
Well, the other thing when I came into it, or because I've had some involvement both informally and formally in mentoring. I had done some mentoring for the PSA. But when I did the mentoring training before the program, the first thing I opened my eyes was, gosh, I've been doing it all wrong. You know, I wouldn't say all wrong, but
no.
There was so much more potential than what we were doing, which was basically sort of going through a list of things that somebody wanted to do and doing them. Instead of searching for, I suppose, when you're doing something that's been prescribed by somebody else, rather than setting the agenda yourself. And that was a big mm-hmm. difference with this program. The mentee set the agenda herself. She told me what she wanted to get out of it. And then we looked at how we could achieve that together. And basically it was, she achieved it. All I did was I suppose facilitate might be the best word, because it's not about telling somebody else, oh, this is what I did and this is, you know, how I achieved what I have today. It's about saying, well, how do you think you're going to get to where you want to be? And it's all more about listening than telling. And okay. For most of us, that's quite hard because our day job involves telling the staff what to do, telling the patients a lot of the time, take your tablets 3 times a day. You know, you're not really listening to what they're saying. So it was very instructive to learn how to listen and to learn to look at things from the other person's perspective, because we're all self-centered. We tend to look at things as how it affects me and, you know, what does this to do with me? And it's a matter of taking yourself out of that, putting yourself in the other person's shoes and looking through their eyes. And that's been invaluable to me with my staff and with my patients as well as with the mentor.
Okay, so you found that some of the skills that you developed have, you know, been used in other areas, not just in that dynamic between you and the person you were mentoring.
Absolutely, because it's something that you take into every aspect of your life, even with your family. You know,
So there was value in the learning and there was value in the giving, despite your initial misgivings.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And tell me, there's been some podcast participants who've come on and the first question I've said to them is, you don't like the word resilience. Why, you know, why is that? So let me put that question to you too as well. You said you really don't like this word resilience.
No, because I feel the word resilience seems to, when you say to somebody, oh, you know, you should be resilient, that they should be able to take anything that's thrown at them. And of course, I mean, you do have to have the ability to cope with very difficult situations, but it doesn't mean that you should have to cope with situations that are not right, and that you shouldn't have to cope when there's just too much work, there isn't enough support. So putting it on the person, you're taking it away, the responsibility away from the system, for want of a better word, or be it the employer or, you know, the regulatory system that we work in. If it's placing an excessive burden on you, it's not for you to be resilient and be able to handle it. It's for somebody to come along and say, this is too much. And sometimes you're the person that has to say, this is too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting concept that we've talked about before, about the resilience of the system and the impact of the system. And we've referred to Zubin Austin's work, which says that you can have a very resilient person, but if they're in a toxic work environment, it doesn't make a difference. They're still going to struggle. Whereas you can have somebody who maybe doesn't have a huge amount of resilience, but if they're in a supportive environment, that's okay. They're able to get the right support that they need in whatever areas. So I think there's a lot in what you said, which is partly why I think a programme like this isn't going to be, or it's neither all or nothing. You know, a programme, it gives you a structure, but if people don't get involved, it's not going to do anything. But similarly, people can be trying to do things and a structure and a supportive environment can actually give them a bit of help. So, but I do get the idea that resilience in general, we need to kind of change the conversation to being much more person-centred and talking about, you know, how people can navigate the systems within which they're working and how the systems need to change. Very good. Okay, well, I'm going to move on to our last guest. Thank you for that, Margaret. I'm going to move on to the last guest, who's Cian O'Cahany. And Cian, you were also, like Mo, a participant on the mentoring programme. So if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you've discovered through mentoring, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Hi, Katrina. Thanks very much for having me on the podcast today. So as you said, my name's Cian. I'm a pharmacist. I qualified in the summer of 2018, having studied and trained in Northern Ireland. Currently, I'm working as a hospital pharmacist with a 50-50 split role, half the time spent performing ward-based clinical services and the rest of the day spent working in the aseptic unit. So it's varied work and it's really challenging. It's something I really enjoy. In terms of my experience then of the mentoring program, I suppose just like everyone else, when the email came in, it was something that caught my attention, but I didn't act on initially. But then when I had a bit of time to sit back and think about it, I kind of thought where I was in my own career. I'd qualified. I was just coming into the 2-year mark at that stage. And obviously when you hit 3 years in hospital pharmacy, the career structure is set up where it's basic grade, and then after 3 years you can qualify to go on to become a senior pharmacist once a role comes up. And then also there is a trend whereby you're qualified for three years now, you have to start looking for, you know, to build on your own skills in terms of, you know, further qualifications or further education opportunities. So I was kind of mulling these things over, and once the email came in for a mentoring program, I thought this might be a really good environment to be able to, you know, maybe challenge the ideas that I had in terms of what education options are available, or, you know, what skills I need to develop to become a senior pharmacist, and discuss that with a more experienced colleague. You know, maybe not even to get their thoughts on it, but more to be a sounding board to see, you know, to have often you can become set on an idea and decide this is what I'm going to do. And while it might have sound great because you formulated yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that's the target you should be aiming for. So that's why I really joined the mentoring program, to have that opportunity to kind of challenge my own ideas and develop from there.
Very good. And how has the experience been for you then? Did you get that?
Yeah, no, it's been great. I was lucky enough to be paired up with a really, you know, honest and open mentor as part of the program. They really challenged me in the sense that, like the other participants have said, it wasn't that it was prescriptive or very much, you know, tasks being set and performing those tasks. It was very much an open conversation led by me to discuss, you know, what my thoughts were, what my learning outcomes were, what did I want to get out of it. And then the mentor would just pause and ask, well, why do you want to do that? What's your end goal, or what's your vision for this? And that, you know, that's a question you wouldn't really ask yourself, because you kind of think step by step, but think at the end and work backwards and then see where you want to go. So I feel it gave me that opportunity to, you know, think of where I am now, think of where I could go, or think of also then where I would like to go and work back from there, and not just see there's the traditional route of maybe, you know, doing a clinical master's or continuing, you know, just doing your normal 9 to 5. Maybe look at other opportunities that are available outside, your own working environment, and, you know, taking it from there. Now, I found the program, it was a very supportive environment, and it was also a very friendly environment too. You know, I'd never met my mentor before, but again, we just got on really, really well. We had very similar experiences, but also different experience too. And it was great to get a different perspective too.
I'm really interested in that point that you made, Cian, about, you know, it's very tempting to do another course of learning. And I think as pharmacists, we tend to love learning. And I know lots of peers and colleagues who go and do masters or do certificates or branch out in something else. I'm guilty of it myself. But actually, this seems like a different type of learning, but equally valuable.
Yes. It's very much, you know, I know the buzzword is real, you know, it's self-directed learning, but it really was, because it wasn't just a one-size-fits-all program. It was very much tailored to, you know, what my needs were, and how those needs were got they were self-identified by me. So it was very much a program, you know, for me, that was run by me, really. And it was very much both, you know, it was run by me, but it was facilitated by the mentor. And I felt, you know, it was fantastic. It really worked well.
I love that concept, that you're actually setting your goal, you're running it yourself, but it's with the facilitation, so that it's very much like your own personalised development plan.
Exactly, 100%, yeah.
Wow, okay. And had you ever had that before anywhere else? Or you may have had it through managers or different things, but this was a bit different, I hear, just because it was more broad reaching.
It was more broad reaching, yes. And it was very much, you know, focused towards me and my development. When you're in an employment scenario, you know, the goal is always, you know, to achieve a target. It's a workplace target. And if you develop within that, great, you know, everyone wins. But the primary goal isn't your own self-development. It's, you know, to achieve your own target. Whereas the goals from my program, at least, was, you know, how can I develop? So it was very much, I was the focus of it. So that's kind of where it was different.
Fantastic. Okay, so thank you everybody for sharing your insights. There's lots of things that I'm hearing here, which is, you know, there's maybe an untapped potential in ourselves and in the profession, that this sort of structure gives an ability to tap into that. And it sounds like there's lots of positives out of it. If we were to recap on what was the biggest thing you felt you got out of it personally yourself, Keane, you've touched on it a little bit there, but what was the thing that you got from this more formal mentoring program? You talked about it being very much self-directed. Was there anything else that stood out for you?
Well, I feel, you know, obviously the title of the podcast is, you know, The Resilient Pharmacist. And that concept of resilience, where I felt it really benefit me, was it just improved my own self-awareness, both of, you know, what opportunities are available for me, but also the awareness of my own kind of situation of where I am at the moment in my own career. And while there are loads of opportunities available, which ones actually make sense for me? So for me, the main goal that I got out of it was that improved self-awareness of what my own goals were. And then also through the program, identifying, you know, courses or different learning opportunities that can be used to address those different goals. And from that, you know, increased self-awareness comes improved, you know, job satisfaction, comes improved, you know, self-confidence within your own practice. So there's, you know, there's very much, you know, multifaceted benefits from it.
Very good. And you've talked before about there was quite a bit of challenge in it. It wasn't, you know, you were being challenged on some of the things. Can you talk a little bit about how that challenge felt? Was it scary, or, you know, was it in safe environment? How did you find that?
No, it was very much a very safe and supported environment. It was very much just, you know, like, When something goes wrong in a workplace, one of the strategies to cope with is to ask the five whys. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And that's very much how my mentor kind of approached some of the kind of learning goals I presented. It was much about why do you want to do this? You'd give an answer. And then, well, why that? Why that? And then you're really boiling it down to the fundamentals. So, you know, when I got, you get past one why and two why, and then you'd be, okay, I don't know where I'm going with this now, but that's actually okay, because, you know, you've identified, okay, maybe that was just a preconditioned idea that I had, that I thought I actually wanted to do this. But when someone really interrogates me, it's okay, I'm not so sure now, maybe I need to take a step back and analyze, you know, why that I wanted to do that. But it was done in a very, you know, it wasn't you don't know the answer anymore. It was very much that's all okay, what can you do to figure out the answer there, or what were your thoughts, and work through those thoughts. No, it was very supportive and very facilitating.
Okay, thanks for that. And it actually resonates with some of the messages from the previous podcasts, where people said their point of change happened when they stopped and started asking why am I doing this, is this an expectation? But it's something that happened much later in their career, so it's really wonderful that you're getting that at an early stage to really think about the whys and give yourself that space. Thank you so much for sharing that, Margaret. I'm wondering, with you then, what's your biggest learning from this as a mentor? What did you get out of it? Or, much as you don't like the word resilience, has it helped with resilience in any way?
Well, I think I have to admit that it has, because when we came into this program, obviously it was in the middle of COVID. We were like confined to 5K, I think, of our own homes, and working very hard. And I was jaded, really, you know, tired out. And, well, do I really want to do something else, you know, when I come home in the evening? But I realized, you know, connecting with somebody younger that, and feeling their energy actually energized me. It reminded me that, yes, I do have energy, and I do, you know, it's still there, somewhere well buried, but it's still there. So that was very enlightening, I suppose, that you could see another part of yourself, maybe the part of your younger self that's still fighting to hold on almost.
That sounds lovely. Okay, so even despite the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic and you were giving of your time that you probably didn't really have, you actually got energy from it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
It's almost like when you feel too tired to go for a walk, and then when you come back, you're actually less tired.
It's a lovely analogy. So, yeah, I guess a lot of people are resistant to when an email comes in about a mentoring program because they feel they don't have time. So one of the things they might consider is actually it can give more to you than you might expect as well. And Anything else from you in terms of the benefit for you personally as a mentor? Because, again, that's something that people are probably don't realise, that you do benefit from being a mentor.
Well, I mean, there's obviously a satisfaction in knowing that you've helped somebody else, or they say they've got some benefit from it. So there's, I would say that maybe that feeling of satisfaction that you have achieved, and that they're reflecting back to you what you've achieved over a long career, that you have achieved something, and that it does have, you know, something that you can give to other people from it.
Yeah, and I've remembered hearing you previously, I think on a webinar, just talking about that it kind of gave you a bit of a sense of satisfaction or a warm glow about things. You seem to get, you know, a sense of self-affirmation out of it.
You do, because obviously everybody likes to feel useful.
We know that in RFO, anybody in RFO will say that you're more than useful, but it's more your sense of self of within the profession.
Exactly. It's a different, obviously you're useful in the community doing a particular job, but you need to do more than one thing to get satisfaction. You can't get all your satisfaction out of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And so, Louisa, can I come to you also from the perspective of the mentor? And you spoke about how you had misgivings in the beginning and you weren't sure and that changed. What did the mentoring experience or being a mentor give to you then? Or what's the one takeaway you could say that was positive from you?
Well, as always, Katrina, it started me off now in another path to do more. I really enjoyed the mentoring. And I also, through the training, we got a taste of coaching. So I'm now currently looking at that avenue as a kind of an avenue for self-development, because I do think I would be a very good coach. Isn't this interesting now, Katrina, from someone who thought they had the confidence to be a mentor, has now got this idea that she might be very good as a coach. And I suppose that is something that I'm really interested in looking at, because what mentoring has really given me is it made me very proud of my mentee and of what my mentee has achieved through the mentoring program. But it's also given me pride in the profession. I'm a very proud pharmacist, but I love that feeling when, you know, you meet somebody or you see something or you read something and you get this lovely feeling of pride in the profession. And I feel the profession is really safe with these young pharmacists. Now, I sound like I'm about 90 here, but anyway, and I felt great pride, but I also felt great self-affirmation, as you put it, but a bit of self-worth. And I think Margaret put it really well there. We were going through what was a really difficult time where life was really, really small and where our world was really, really small. And I suppose pretty much all that I had was my job and maybe a few coffees and a few walks. And it was just lovely that, you know, having done this mentoring, it has now set me off on another journey. And it's lovely to kind of come out of COVID maybe with something new and something exciting. So I'm really looking forward to that particular journey.
Very good. And the very best of luck with that onward journey. But what I'm hearing from both of the mentors is actually, although there was misgivings, one maybe feeling that they weren't qualified long enough, another feeling they were qualified too long. And although it was in the middle of a pandemic and there was a huge amount of other things to do, getting involved had benefits both from energy, from self-worth, but also being able to give back and to interact. So I think that's a really important message for people who might be hesitant about getting involved with mentoring. And so that would be a really strong message out of here, that we don't just benefit when we receive, but we also benefit when we give. Mo, can I come to you then? We've heard there, you know, you were saying that pharmacists sometimes maybe aren't great at asking for help. It sounds like maybe pharmacists are sometimes a bit shy about giving help because they're not sure if they're kind of being overstepping the mark by doing that, or if they have enough experience to share. What's the big takeaway for you out of the programme, or how has it benefited you going forward now?
I suppose that it has, like I said earlier, helped me to be much better at asking for help. But also participating in this programme has helped with my decision-making skills, I suppose you could call it that, because there was this thing my mentor actually taught me, basically thinking of your making decisions as a Venn diagram. So you would take into consideration different perspectives of the decision, And then your decision obviously would be in the middle, which is sort of, so which makes it a blend of different perspectives. So I found that very good, and I do use it in my practice today, because, you know, most times working in community, you come across different patients who, you know, it's not a one size fits all. So obviously you can't use the same model to make decisions for every patient you come across. So I have actually used the Venn diagram model that was taught to me by my mentor with my patients, and it's really helped.
Very good. And have you feel, do you feel more settled now in Ireland, and that gap where you felt that there wasn't kind of support as such, or guidance, that that's been met through mentoring?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I would advise anyone who's moving over to sign up for the mentorship program. And not necessarily just anyone, even, you know, new recruits, new people who just got on the register. You really should sign up for the program, because, you know, not everything gets covered in your pre-reg year.
Okay.
You're on your own for the first time. So being with a mentor would allow you to ask questions that maybe you wouldn't feel so comfortable asking at work.
Okay, very good. And hopefully over time, this will become a culture. So I know that this has been the first programme. Some of you have pointed to the fact that actually mentoring was happening, and either as mentors or receiving information, that you just didn't recognise it. So as we start to talk more about this topic, and as we start to talk about the value of pharmacists supporting each other and connecting with each other, hopefully it'll just become part and parcel of what we do, and we won't necessarily need programmes to do it. But I know that the pilot that you ran, Sarah, it was a 3-month programme, I think, and it gave some very specific structure and training to both the mentors and the mentees. You must feel very proud listening to the conversation just now about what benefit different people got from your programme.
100%. I have that warm, glowing feeling that Louisa was talking about there. And to be honest, every interaction that we've had, anytime this group has got together, that sense of energy that Margaret was talking about, it's just so true. You'd come off the calls and you'd just be buzzing. I think that sense of connection, that giving back. And like Margaret was saying, I think sometimes with resilience, people can picture maybe a bubble bath and a face mask, or taking time out as looking after yourself. And yes, that can be effective, and there's times when that's needed. But sometimes it's doing something different. It's giving back. There's so many ways that we can build our resilience, build our own satisfaction in our roles. And I think that sometimes giving back, or those, that sense of connection, that was really, I could tangibly feel that from this group, from the pilot group. And we've just started our new program and we're already getting that sense. We've had our onboarding training with our mentors and mentees. And we're already feeling that energy. And I think, like you say, hopefully it becomes a culture. I know Margaret and Mo kind of spoke of that ripple effect. So yes, it impacted me during the program, but now it's impacting my patients, it's impacting my teams. I think Margaret even went to say as far as, you know, even me and my family. So hopefully that ripple effect, that yes, the formal mentoring program will give that support, give that structure, give people confidence in it. But hopefully over time, we can build that culture where it's just something that happens and that we recognize that we can value from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And have you any other observations from an external perspective of the relationships you saw evolving, or things that you felt helped with increasing resilience amongst pharmacists from this sort of a mentoring approach?
Oh, so much. I'm going to have to try pick things, because I could talk about this for about an hour, Katrina. I think there's real value in the connection piece alone. And I know that sounds simple, but I think pharmacy is a growing profession. I think sometimes it can be a little bit isolating. You can work on your own an awful lot, but building that network, that connection, that supporting environment for each other, I think there's huge power in that alone. And that's something that we can sense from the pilot. So following the pilot, we're coming together as a mentoring community. So anybody who's listening, who is interested in mentoring, who wants to get involved, is welcome to join that Connect community, where we'll meet regularly, we'll we'll discuss mentoring, we'll share our perspectives, share our experiences and build that mentoring community.
Okay, very good. So we've talked specifically today about the IIOP mentoring pilot. That was a 3-month period where mentors and mentees got a certain amount of training and advice. It sounds like the pairing, which is matching people up, worked very, very well. And Sarah, you must be proud to hear everybody saying actually the pairing seemed to be really good. There was a level of training and structure. But mentoring can happen at any stage. You know, it's just being aware of it and being mindful about it, and is something that I know pharmacists all around the world, you know, have different formats of mentoring, be it formal and informal. So I think we've heard a lot about the benefits of mentoring, both if you're going to act as a mentor or if you're going to benefit from that interaction with a mentor and be a mentee. And I suppose it's really just to flag this as something that came up in the series, as that connection, that having wisdom shared within the profession, and new approaches to conversations where we give that space for time and reflection and self-direction. They're all themes that have come up during the podcast series. It's lovely to see them being reiterated here. So I'd like to thank each of our contributors today, to Moyasana, to Kian, to Louisa, Margaret and to Sarah. Thank you so much for giving us a flavour of mentoring, and hopefully listeners will have found some tips or some ideas in there that might help them to think about this as an approach to help improve their resilience going forward. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to The Resilient Pharmacist. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you listened to this episode. And for more information, you can follow us on Twitter at Resilient Pharm.